The poster man. I saw a small man, middle-aged, about my height, no more, with a bundle of papers under his arm, going from shop to shop down the high street. Not being brave enough to follow him into each shop, I stood outside, positioning myself a short distance from the shop window, so I could watch him through the glass. He approached the counter and looked about for a moment before coughing to make his presence known. Ahem. The assistant glanced around, scanning the shop from left to right, until the tiny man coughed again. Ahem. And the assistant finally looked down to where the small man stood. Their conversation seemed brief, the assistant nodding some consent or agreement, upon which the little man approached the shop window. From his pocket he took a roll of sellotape, then unfurled a single sheet from his bundle and carefully aligned the poster within the window frame, before pressing the tape down on the corners with a satisfying gesture of completion. All the while, I maintained a pretense of busying myself outside, checking my watch, reading non-existent text messages, being distracted by events on the street, anything to disguise my curiosity with his business. Having finished, the little man collected his things and waved briefly to the clerk before leaving the shop and carrying on down the road. Perhaps I should explain. My curiosity was not provoked by his smallness, although it was a rather unusual proportion, it was not dissimilar to my own. Fortunately, a person perceives the world with his or her own senses, not with others. Yet even with the greatest clarity of vision, it is one of the many paradoxes of our human nature that perception of the world is unique to the individual on the one hand, yet much the same as everyone else's on the other. All that aside, I found the most extraordinary feature of this little man was not his dimensions, but rather his purpose. For every shop window poster he had thus far installed seemed, from the perspective of the observer on the street, the wrong way round, by which I mean his poster, which in size and shape was like any other, had one exception. It did not say anything at all. In fact, it was completely blank. I could only think that he was knowingly placing the posters in the window for the benefit of those inside the shop, and not, as you might assume, for the many more people who passed by outside. I thought this strange. If nothing else, it seemed contrary to the convention of advertising. Perhaps it was intended as some form of reverse psychology. It was possible that undermining expectations, such as my own, was intended to inspire a greater curiosity in the viewer. Distracted by these musings, I nearly lost sight of him. I glanced down the road just in time to see him enter another shop a little further on. Calculating the time he took going through his poster routine, I decided it was just long enough for me to have a quick look in the shop he had just left. As I entered, a small bell above the door jingled like the collar of a cat. On this signal, the person behind the counter glanced over his spectacles at me and offered a small, if I may be of assistance, smile, before returning his attention to his newspaper. I couldn't help noticing that at the turn of each page he would raise a finger to his lips, moisten it, then dab at the corner of the paper and flick it quite noisily before carefully smoothing down the central fold. However, his silent manner spoke for itself, his averted eyes offering me a sense of personal space within the occupied territory of the shop. His body language expressed a wordless declaration. Should I have any query, he would assist me in an instant, I was sure. This silent oath was a small comfort. I relaxed in my little bubble of privacy, gazing leisurely around the shop before finally turning my attention to the window. The seasonal bustle outside mixed with the reflections of the shop interior. Its lighting shone against the winter evening twilight, and there, in the center of the window, was my goal, the little man's poster. I sighed a little, feeling I had accomplished something. However, as I focused my attention, I had to look again. No, this couldn't be right. I stepped forward for a closer look, and while doing so, gulped awkwardly, sending something the wrong way down my windpipe. I was consumed by a fit of coughing and doubled over while clasping a hand to my mouth. In what seemed an instant, an attentive voice came from behind.
"Can I help you?"
I turned around to find myself face to face with the shop clerk. He bent over me as if a bird of prey frozen in mid-flight, with his spectacled eyes no more than 2 inches from my own. For a moment, I felt uncomfortable. Smallness seems to encourage overbearing behavior in some people, but I quickly recovered and stood my ground.
Yes, well, you see,
I am wondering, I nodded toward the poster, what the, poster here in your fine window, pointing my gaze in its direction, twitching my eyebrows enthusiastically. You see, I wondered what it said, and so I came in, only to find, correct me if I'm wrong, but obviously I was circling around the issue, hoping that he would pick up the baton, so to speak. Instead, he said nothing. Perhaps I wasn't being clear. I coughed again and gazed out the window, feeling lost as to what I should say next. Then, in a flash of inspiration, I turned to him again. You see, unfortunately, I have come out forgetting my glasses, and, I can't read this poster here, and so I wonder if you might assist me. At this, the shop clerk raised himself up to his full height and towered over me. As he adjusted his own spectacles, he took a deep breath, seeming to stoke his thoughts with the surrounding air as it whistled through his teeth. Then, like a giant bellows, he puffed. "Well," he said, looking about and rubbing his chin, "I'm not sure that I can." He peered down apologetically at me. "You see, we don't do glasses here, reading or otherwise." He thought for a moment more, and then said helpfully, "There is an optometrist further down," and he pointed in that direction.
"Thank you. No, I have several pairs." I smiled apologetically. "Only I don't seem to have a single one with me."
Then, after another expectant pause, I clarified further.
"So I wonder if you might," this time stabbing a finger directly at the window, "help me with the poster here. I just wanted to know what it means. You see?"
He scratched his head and bent forward, closely examining the poster. "But," he paused and reared up to his full height again, a rather unfortunate pose from my perspective, as I had to peer straight up his nose to maintain eye contact.
"You do mean this poster, sir?"
he said, nodding at the window.
Yes, yes, my good man, the very one, I said, with some encouragement.
He paused again, inhaling with the hiss of a punctured tire.
Well, sir, he said, taking off his glasses. Perhaps he too was unsure whether he might be being made a fool of.
I'm bound to say, he waved his specs at the window, that this poster here doesn't say anything, sir.
I mean, it is entirely blank.
There was another pause as he turned and looked wistfully back toward the sanctuary of his little counter.
B-b-b-blank!
The word squeaked out of my throat as if it had suddenly sprung loose from a vice, before I remembered my manners and returned to polite formality.
But why? Why would anyone put up a blank poster?
His mouth opened, as if to say something, then closed again, as he thought better of it. His brow knitted up like a herringbone as he crossed his arms and squinted out the window. Finally, after some lengthy deliberation, he held up his hands as if confessing to a murder, and then made a noise like an escaping balloon.
I honestly don't think I can say, sir.
Now I hesitated, aware that taking the matter further might advance the issue onto more uncertain ground. However, the momentum of my astonishment pushed me on regardless of the bounds of manners.
But why on earth do you allow such a thing to take up space in your shop?
With this, the clerk regained some of his professional poise.
"Well, now," he said carefully, positioning his glasses back onto his nose. "It is a free country, sir, or thereabouts, as I understand, and I don't see it causes any harm."
With which he crossed his arms again and rallied around his point.
"If we were to stop one poster, we'd have to stop them all, and then where would we be?"
He took a moment and said,
"Everybody's entitled to their opinion, sir, even if that means going so far as to not saying anything at all."
He gazed into the distance, perhaps imagining himself a lonely sentinel, tirelessly guarding the gates of liberty and freedom. Then, remembering my presence, he bent down toward me, hands on hips and elbows out as if imitating a chicken.
"Now then, sir," he said, grinning professionally, "is there anything else I can help you with today?"
Well, of course there wasn't, and being uncomfortably aware that I hadn't made a very good impression, I decided to carry on with my original ruse to the bitter end.
Yes, did you say the optometrist was this way?
Yes, sir. 2.5 blocks down on the right, you won't miss it. With which he trooped back to his headquarters behind the counter. Thanking him, I made my way to the door, and on stepping through the entranceway, the little bell above the door announced my departure. And that was when it occurred to me. I couldn't recall hearing that bell when I observed the little man entering or leaving this very self-same shop. I stood there on the threshold, pushing the door to and fro, familiarizing myself with the sound. Yes, I had definitely only heard that sound when I first went in. Then a loud cough interrupted my observations. I looked round to find the clerk staring impatiently at me from behind his counter. Sheepishly, I shut the door as quietly as I could and slunk out, checking the poster again from the outside. Blank, yes. No mistaking that. Making a mental note of the time, I hurried down the road. With any luck, I could still catch up with that little poster man, so dedicated to proclaiming his freedom of expression, even if it meant saying absolutely nothing, which I now feel is quite an interesting thing to be telling everyone. After all,